Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 7, day 3 of the study of Genesis. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Genesis chapter 33. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today? God, speak to us. We want to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's Word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Genesis chapter 33, starting in verse 1. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau, coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two female servants. He put the female servants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. So obviously, this is unequivocal here. There's no mistaking the fact that he favors Rachel and Joseph more than all the other children and more than his other wives. This is the kind of thing that just causes problems. But obviously, Jacob doesn't care. And again, remember that Jacob, the only wife he asked for in the first place was Rachel. And so I don't think that there's ever been any mistaking the fact that Jacob really only wanted to be married to Rachel in the first place. But when he does all of this, it's very clear. He's like, I'm going to make sure that if they're going to go on a killing spree, Rachel and Joseph have got plenty of time to see what's happening and flee. Because it's not like they're all in a neat line. I mean, there's so much stuff and people that this is a long caravan, and Rachel and Joseph are in the back. And he's telling them, listen, if they come after you, just get away with your lives. Just run as fast as you can. Verse 4, but Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the women and children. Who are these with you? He asked. Jacob answered, they are the children God has graciously given your servant. Then the female servants and their children approached and bowed down. Next, Leah and her children came and bowed down. Last of all, Joseph and Rachel, and they too bowed down. Esau asked, what's the meaning of all these flocks and herds I met? To find favor in your eyes, my lord, he said. But Esau said, I already have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. Verse 10, no, please, said Jacob. If I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God, now that you have received me favorably. Please accept the present that was brought to you. For God has been gracious to me, and I have all I need. And because Jacob insisted, Esau accepted it. Now, this is very interesting because when Jacob left, remember that he promised that he was going to give the Lord a tenth of everything he had if he just brought him back. If you just bring me back, if you provide me clothes and food and bring me back to the land of my father, then I'll worship you as God and I will give you a tenth of everything I have. We're never really told about Jacob tithing like he did to the Lord. So it makes me wonder, is this the tithe that Jacob is thinking about? Is giving all of this to his brother? Is this the tithe that was in his mind? It's an interesting thought. It doesn't ever tell us, but it is very interesting that he's so insistent on giving him all of this, even though Esau wants to turn it down. Verse 12. Then Esau said, let us be on our way. I'll accompany you. But Jacob said to him, my lord knows that the children are tender and that I must care for the ewes and cows that are nursing their young. If they're driven hard just one day, all the animals will die. So let my lord go on ahead of his servant while I move along slowly at the pace of my flocks and herds before me and the pace of the children until I come to my lord in Seir. Esau said, then let me leave some of my men with you. But why do that? Jacob asked. Let me find favor in the eyes of my lord. It's becoming very clear here that Jacob doesn't want to go with Esau to Seir. He wants to go back to the land of his fathers. He's not wanting to go to where Esau lives, which this is basically kind of on the other side of the Dead Sea down in kind of the southern area here. He doesn't want to go there. He knows that he's called to go back to, you know, the land of Canaan, the land that was promised to Abraham and Isaac and now him. But it's interesting that he tells him, let me come at my own pace to Seir, even though he has no intention of going there. He is still, to some extent, afraid of Esau, so much that he's going to lie to him here, because he has no intention of going to the land where Esau has inhabited. And I'm not sure that Esau is buying it either. Like, Esau is trying to push him and persuade him into coming. And it's not clear why Jacob doesn't want to do it, but it's very clear that he doesn't. It's very clear that he's not going to. So it makes you wonder if some of these angelic meetings and things that have happened to Jacob in the past few days and months and years haven't alerted him to the fact that Esau he's moved into idolatry and things like that. And God does not want them intermingling. God does not want him going with Esau. He wants him going back to the land that he promised, worshiping the one true God and him alone. Verse 16. So that day, Esau started on his way back to Seir. Jacob, however, went to Succoth, where he built a place for himself and made shelters for his livestock. That is why that place is called Succoth. After Jacob came from Paddan Aram, he arrived safely at the city of Shechem in Canaan and camped within sight of the city. For 100 pieces of silver, he bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, the plot of ground where he pitched his tent. There he set up an altar and called it El Elohe Israel. And that Hebrew phrase means that Jacob is basically saying that you are the God of Israel. You are my God. That's what he's saying there. He's finally returned home, and he's saying, you are my God. He remembers this promise that he gave the Lord all these years ago, and he's finally come home. I'm sure those of you that are listening to this, that you've been off to war and you've been to foreign lands, you know, it can seem like an eternity. For Jacob, 20 years, that's a long time. And he's come home. Think about, for those of you that have experienced that, you've lived overseas, you've lived in different places, and you come home, that comfort of finally being home. Jacob is overwhelmed. And he sets up this altar and he calls it the God of Israel, the Mighty One of Israel. He acknowledges God. And again, it doesn't tell us why Jacob refused to go to Seir, but he had no intention of going. And he's still afraid of Esau, even after Esau said, hey, I don't care about all that stuff. All's forgiven. Jacob's still like, I don't want to press my luck. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to go back to the land that the Lord has promised to Abraham, Isaac, and now me. And when he gets there, he worships the Lord for bringing him home. I love this story that the Lord is with him. When the Lord makes promises, he fulfills. Lord sees these things through to the end, and it doesn't mean that Jacob is the most deserving person of what's happened, what's going on, the promises that have been made. But the Lord did make the promises, and he brought him home, and he brought him home with great wealth. And Jacob recognizes that, and he sets his mind to worshiping only God. I'm sure while he was in Laban's house, obviously because Rachel, his beloved wife, steals the household gods and brings them with her, there might have been a struggle for Jacob during that time to maybe worship other gods, maybe not. We don't know that for sure. But for sure, now that he's here, he's made up his mind once and for all. There is no other god but the one true God. And he's going to worship him with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength for the rest of his life. I pray that every other thing in our lives, every other thing that we would make an idol, that we do the same, that we purge our lives of them, and that we set up the same altar in our hearts. And we call it the, you know, put your name in here for me, the God, the mighty one of Darren. That he becomes our God. If you're walking in a relationship that you feel like was handed to you by your parents or your grandparents or someone else, I pray that you will make it your own, that you will follow the one true God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength and never turn back. I pray that you will make that commitment. If you've never done it, make it today. For those of you that have never made that commitment, I want to offer this prayer to you today. If you've never made that commitment, I want you to pray this prayer with me today. Jesus, I want to know you and I want to follow you. Forgive me for all of my sin. I repent of it. Wash me clean. I want to know you. I want to follow you. I want to serve you. I want to love you. Give me grace to follow you all the rest of the days of my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you did just pray that prayer for the first time, I would encourage you to reach out to me. Send an email to me at darrenhibbs.com. You can go to my website, Darren Hibbs, 10-Week Bible. Look in the show notes and you can find links to contact me. If you did pray that prayer for the first time, I want to talk to you and help you find a place to connect in a church or with other believers. I want you to grow in your life in God if you did do that. And I encourage you, if you have those in your life, if you've made that commitment, you've got family members and friends that need to make that commitment, I pray that you will pray for them and I pray that you will talk to them and lead them in that same prayer, so that they will make the same commitment that Jacob did. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the podcast.